Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Lamad Aleph, Amud Aleph. We're at the words of Tanya, with the Lashon of the Braisa. We're discussing the Shir Shel Yom that the Levim used to sing in the base of Migdash. So now the Braisa is going to discuss, why did they mention these specific capital to them? Why specific these Prakim of Tehillim did they say while reciting Shir Shel Yom? So Tanya within our Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishim Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda is in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Barishon Maya Omrim, on the first day, meaning Sunday, what we call Sunday, what capital to them did the Ravim used to say? Lashem Aretz Umloa. They used to say that Hashem is the earth and everything involved with it is going to be Hashem's. And Rashi says that obviously this is reference to the entire, you didn't just say the one pasuk, but like we say in the Shir Shel Yom nowadays, they would say that whole kapitel tilm, that whole parak of tilm they used to say. Al Shem, why did they do that? Shem Shekana, that's a reference to the first day of creation. Hashem acquired the universe. That's what he did. Hashem was by Aretz, and he was the fact that Hashem is representing the Aretz, that idea of the earth and everything inside of it, that reference is appropriate in the first day because everything came into existence, potential form. Hashem was the Melech on all of those things. Vehikna, and also he gave it over to mankind. Eventually, the whole purpose of Tevel Veyoshveba, the world and anyone who dwells in it, that's what reference to on that Kapitel Tom as well, and that's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for the purpose of giving it over to mankind. That's why we say specifically this Kapitel Tom on the first day. And so then, and also Vishali Pelmo, he also ruled over the world by himself, as Rashi points out, that the Malachim were not created until the second day. So that's the idea over here. And then the last four Pesukim is also pertaining to Melech HaKavod. We mentioned Melech HaKavod a lot of times. The Maharsha points out also that the fact that we say Melech HaKavod is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically Melech HaKavod, because it's a reference to the first day, which Hashem was Yachid Be'olamo. So then he didn't create anything else until the second day. It's also important to note that today is the yard site of the Maharsha. It's very fitting. I love when the Daf Yomi fits in nicely without the Indian that we're in. Today is a lot of Agadita Gemaras. There's a lot of Marishas, a lot of very nice, important Marishas. I'll mention a few more than normal because today is his Yortzeit by the Agadas and even by Tosas and a lot of other things. It's such an important parish that we use. It's Neshama Shad of Leah, should be made Litzyosha and Klal Yisrael. And I'll try to mention a few more Marishas than normal because today is, in fact, his Yortzeit. I think that they say Mesorah B'Shem Bal Shem Tov, that the Maharsha was one of the last Pirushim written totally in Ruach HaKodesh. That obviously we worked out the Sugis and everything like that, but Imamish was totally Kol Kulo written by Ruach HaKodesh. I say there's another term of Sora, B'Shem Bal Shem Tov. Okay, either way, so continuing, B'Shem Mayim Omrim, on the second day of the week, what would they say? Which capital to Hillim? Gadol Hashem Olam Me'od. Hashem is great and he's praised, right? And he's very, very holy. Me'od Me'od Be'er Lekino HaKodesho. That's important to Hemshech. It's important to mention that Be'er Lekino HaKodesho, the city of Hashem, he's going to have his holiness. And this is a reference to why do we say this was one, because Al Shem Shechilek Ma'isav and Melech Aleim, the second day HaKadosh Baruch Hu had separated the things that he made and he also ruled over them. The second day Hashem created the land and the Rakia, as Rashi points out, Shamayim of Aretz V'Hikna, and then Shekinah Be'ira V'Har, and then that's a reference to also that he was Rashi's Lashon again, Hivdil Rakia Ben Elyonim LeTachtonim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the firmament which is going to be dividing between the upper worlds and the lower worlds and the heavens. And so that is a reference to the second day, because the second day is a reference to Yom Sheni. We say the Kapitel Tehillim is reference to, Rashi says, is a Shekinah Be'ir V'Har Kodesh. The Har Kodesh is a reference to Yerushalayim, which he made holier than the other areas of the world. Bashlishi Omrim, on the third day, what would they say? Because the Shishim Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel. So what was that? The third day, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing within the Adas Kel, is a reference to Klal Yisrael, the assembly of Hashem. Al Shem Shigila Eretz Bechachmasa, on the third day, he exposed the land to his wisdom. Vehechin Teva La'adaso, he prepared the world to La'adaso, because at the end of the second day, the entire earth was underwater. On the third day, Hashem established that the water should be contained within the boundaries of the sea, divine Eretz and the Abasha. So he exposed the land and had the other areas. So that was eventually going to pave the way for the human beings and animals to live. So this is a reference to the Tuesday's Tehillim, but we're saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu standing within his Adas Kel, a reference to Adas Kel is exposing the world that we'd be able to live in it. Okay. Veravi Omer, the fourth day, they would say, Elna Kamos Hashem. Hashem is a God of Nekamas. Nekama is taking vengeance and taking revenge. Kielu. What is that? Al Shem Shibara Choyma Levana. He created the sun and the moon. Ve'asi Liparmav, then he's going to be very upset. He's going to create those who worship Avodah Zarah, the idol worshippers, is going to come to judge them. So we see that we have more that the Rishayim are going to be referencing to Hashem, the two creator of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the destruction of the Rishayim is also part of that. So that's the idea the Marsha points out also, that the Gemara Erechin tells that the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed on a Sunday, but on the day of the Levim, would say that in order that would be because the destruction was because of Avodah Zarah. This is an interesting idea based on this Shir Shel Yom. And Hemshech is Bar Chamishi, in the fifth day, Hay Omrim Harninu Lo Elokim Uzenu. They would sing happily that Hashem was the strength, God of strength. Shem Shebara Ovas V'dagam Mashabeach L'Shmuk, because on the fifth day, Hashem Baruch Hu created the birds and the fish, which eventually the mankind is going to praise Hashem for all the things that He created. Bar Shishi Omrim, we could say also maybe another level of interpretation, that those themselves are also praising Hashem, as we know in the Perek Shira. We know all the animals also have a Shira that they say towards Hashem Baruch Hu. Maybe that's also another reference of what the remez of this Gemara. But Shishi Omer, on the sixth day, they would say, Hashem Malach Gus Lavesh, Hashem has reigned and also has great Lavesh. He's a Geus Lavesh. He's a grander Kortek Hashem Baruch Hu. Hashem Shigamar Malach Lo Malach Aleim. In fact, on the sixth day, he completed his work and he reigned over, he was the king over the creations, and that's what's going on. But Shvi Omer, on the seventh day, we say, Mizmor L'Shilim HaShabbos, on the seventh day, because Liyom Shikulo Shabbos, the day is going to be entirely Shabbos. At the end of the sixth, there's each year is going to become correspondent to 1,000 years. At the end of the 6,000th year, that time there's going to be Mashiach, there's no going to be man, the world's going to be destroyed. So that's the creation. Oh, we're going to live after that. The Tzchias HaMesim is going to work again to them. Shech Ligmar, a little bit of air. This Be'ikaron is a sugya, obviously a very deep sugya. We don't fully understand anyway, but really comes up more in the Gemaras in Perek Chelek. The famous Gemaras at the end of Sanhedrin, last 20 blot or so of the Gemaras in Sanhedrin, discusses at length this concept of when Mashiach is going to come, when the world's going to be destroyed, how long is the world going to last. That is all things that come up much over there. But here we're referencing the fact that the seventh millennia, the world is going to be destroyed in some form, and Mashiach is going to come. So then, the Gemara points out that this is not so pasha. There's machlokas about this. Rabbi Nachman said, Marocham, why did Rabbi Akiva see the need to differentiate these kapitulim from the day of Shabbos? That's different. Unless he agrees with the first 6 days, but he fundamentally is going to point out the seventh day is going to be different. So the first 6 days, Barisha, on the first day we're going to mention Shekhanah Vikna Shal the Alamo, the first day of creation, Hashem acquired. Hashem also gave over to mankind to rule over the world. Basheni, the second day, Hashem is going to be praised, what we mentioned for Har Kodesh. Shechilik Maisa Malach Aleim, He separated the things that were holy and reigned over them. Bashishi Omeim, Shigila Eretz, Bachachmasa Vechain Tevel Adaso, He exposed the land with also His wisdom and world for His Adaso, for His congregation, for Klal Yisrael. Baravi, on the fourth day, Shebara Cham Levon of Yasi, the Parme of Den, is going to punish those who are worshipping the Chama Levana. Bachamishi, on the fifth day, Shebara Ofos V'dagim Meshabeach L'shmo, He created the birds and the fish to give the Klal Yisrael, the mankind should give Him praise for that. Bashishi, Shegamar Malach Tov Malach Lehem V'sik, to complete His work. So this is really the Machlokes is now. Bashvi, on the seventh day on Shabbos, that was referenced to L'Hashem Sheshavas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to be, we say Tov L'Ados L'Hashem there also. We're reflecting the idea that man is elevated on the day of Shabbos, the day of rest. So also, Hashem stopped working, and that's the reference to the seventh day over here. Hashem Sheshavas. They're arguing with what Rav Katina's statement. Rav Katina, then Rav Katina of Kina used to say, 6,000 years the world's going to exist. V'char charav, and 1,000 years it's going to be destroyed. That's Machlokas of Mishnah. We sing that so joyfully. Hashem is going to be exalted on that day, but also it's going to be scary the times of Mashiach, the time also. And then the meaning that we're going to learn for that day is going to be followed by, after that, the destruction is going to be followed by Mashiach, and then after that it's going to be Tchias HaMesim. That's a Shaila, Tchias HaMesim and Mashiach. I mean, one period, two periods in the davening, we say, we seem to define it as two different periods. Either way, that's also based on the Gemara, is what's going to happen. So, but we learn that 2,000 years is going to be destroyed. Yeah, so it's going to revive after 2 days. So it's a reference to millennium, 2,000 years. So what's going on over here? So we're learning out that the Rabbi Huda's understanding, the Rabbi Akiva, that the whole world is going to be destroyed for 1,000 years. Therefore, he's understanding that Shabbos is a reference to Yom Shigula Shabbos, Nei Shabbos, Day of Mashiach. Rabbi Nechemia, he's understanding that the world is going to be destroyed for 2,000 years, and therefore there's going to be not one single day that's entirely Shabbos, because it's a reference to 2 days. So therefore, he referenced to the day of Shabbos, to the Shabbos of creation. That's how Rashi explains what's going on over here. Now we understand what's going on. The Gemara continues, why do we mention different capitals? Which capital did it say on the Musaf of Shabbos? The Gemara says, but Musafei the Shabbos is my Omer. But what did they say the Musaf offering on Shabbos? Amaravana and Barava, Amarav, they used to say, Haziv Lach. The reference to the six stopping points of Parshas Ha'azinu. Why is the Nimanah Chaziv Lach as reference to the first letter in each of these psukim? Hazinu, which is Pasuk Aleph through Vav, and then Ziv, Zion is Zechorim Osalam, the Hemshech is Pasuk Zion, and then Ziv, then the Yod, Haziv, we're in the Yod of Haziv Lach now, is the Yod of Ziyar Kiveu, which is for five psukim, and then Vayira, Vayinas, Vayinav, that's the Ziv, and then Vav of is is Vayar Vayarkiveo, and then Vayar Hashem Vayinatz to Pasuk Chavav, and then after Lach, what's the Lach is Lulei Kas Oyev, and then Ches the Chaf rather is going to be is Kiyadin Hashem Amo. That's what Rashi understands the division of Parshas Hazinu, and that's the mnemonic that's mentioned over here. Marsha, again, Marsha Yerzeh, I want to mention Marsha, is mentioning that this Hazinu is mentioned specifically on Shabbos. Why not mention Kapitel Tehillim? It's very interesting. The other days of the week, we mentioned all Kapitel Tehillim in Tehillim, and now here we're mentioning Parshas Hazinu. He says that Shabbos is such a holier day, we're mentioning the Psukim Mamash from the Torah itself to show us how strong Shabbos is. And he also has another thing, that Haziv Lachas was very nice, and not just the Stamu mnemonic, also in general. The mnemonics of the Gemara have Ramazim in them, and Sodas in them, but here also specifically, Haziv Lachas is mentioned, the radiance is yours. This is an allusion to who wrote the song of Hazinu. It was mentioned by Moshe Rabbeinu, who obviously had the strongest radiance, right? And that the Klal Yisrael couldn't even look at him. That's how strong it was. That's what Marsha points out. Specifically, we mentioned Parshas Hazinu. So the way it's divided by the Levim, Kachlum Yisak Nes, that you can. That's how you divide the Parsha in when you're reading Parshas Hazinu. Parshas Hazinu written up in the Torah is that these seven Aliyahs have to be divided by these exact points of the Hazivlach. And that's we know we normally can have Hosafas, you can add Aliyahs. That is not allowed to be done in Parshas Hazinu. Hazinu has to be divided specifically by the Hazivlach. Rav Shechter always likes to quote the story that it happened in Breuer's once. That there was a psul in the Sefer Torah. So when you find a psul in the Sefer Torah, the Mishnah Berurah recommends being machmer that you should have seven more aliyahs after you find the psul. So you have to read again from the beginning and from where you picked off. But you should have a seven krim, zayin krim, and a kasher Sefer Torah. Should have so the is once happens they found a psul in Parshas Hazinu. So they took it on the Sefer Torah and they read seven aliyahs. They did hosafas in Hazinu from that point on. The Mishnah Berurah mentions that there's one exception to that rule, which would be Parshas Hazinu. So Rav Shechter cries when he says the story that the Rav recognized this mistake because he was correct in saying the Mishnah Berurah says you should add seven aliyahs, but he was mistaken. The Mishnah Berurah makes one exception because of how strong this part because of what you say over here that it has to be divided. Kachalim b'vitanes has to be divided specifically in Hazivlach that you don't add the seven aliyahs for this chumrah. You would not do that in Parshas Hazinu because you're not allowed to end off with points that the stopping points that are different than Hazivlach. So the Rav got up in Mincha and he said I was mistaken. I made a mistake. I did look at the wrong thing. And we did the wrong thing. Rav Shechter just saying the Modal Emes. He cries when he says the story how the Rav got up in front of everyone at Mincha and said he made a mistake. That Ashrecha, he was so impressed by that Rav who commented at that point and it was Modal Emes of what he had done. Okay, either way, that's a nice story of that is how it has to be done in Beis HaKnesses. The Gemara continues now. B'Mincha says the Shabbos Mayomrim. What would they say on Shabbos Mincha? After the Tzid Korban Talmud Shem Abayim, Amar Biyochan, they used to say, Az Yashir until Micha Mocha. We're dividing that into two points. That Az Yashir until Micha Mocha, that's the second section of the Shira, that's what they would say. U'Micha Mocha ve'Az Yashir, and then also they would say a different Az, what's this Az Yashir third one? They'll go back to Az Yashir. No, this is Az Yashir, the Shira Sabe'er, as she points out, which is the Song of the Well, Anu Be'er, Anu La, that whole thing, that they would say the miracle of the Be'er. So that's they would say that point. So the Gemara says, Yibailu, Hane Kulo, Bechad Shabbos Ramilu, Oh, Dilma Kol Shabbos of Shabbos Ramilu. Would they divide this to three different Shabbosim, or would they say this in one Shabbos? Rashi points out, Halaviyam, Mechlug Nebrakam, and Imas HaKol Havsiku, Mechavayan, Klei Shir, and Tzkiyaz, Chachazros, would they say this three different points, and sing the Chachazros and the whole thing as one Shabbos, or would they divide it into different Shabbosim? Each one was a different Shabbos. The Gemara says Tashma, descended within our Braisa, so we're going to prove for this, and Rabbi Yossi said, Ad Sharishona Omeris, till the first set of Kapitel Tehillim was mentioned once, Shnia Chozer Shtayim. The second one was said over twice, meaning that the length of time it would take to complete the Musaf cycle, which was 6 weeks, was at the Tamid cycle would complete in 2 weeks. So Shema Minah, we learned Kol Shabbos Amrei Chad, they would say each one was recited individually in Shabbos because we have more Kapitel Tehillim divide. So therefore, Shema Minah, this is a good point that we divide it by each and every Shabbos. Now the Mishnah discussed the Takanos of Rebbe Chaim Zakkai, so the Gemara is going to mention that different things about Takanos of Rebbe Chaim Zakkai, but also the Gullus that happened in times of the Sanhedrin. Amar of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Amar Bayadim Rabbi Yochanan, Esther Masos Nasa Shechina, the Shechina journeyed seven journeys before the period of the destruction and during the period of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. That the latter years of the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Jews were sinning more and more. The Shechina was leaving the Klal Yisrael, believing more and more the Beis HaMikdash. And it left in stages, the Marsha points out, that they left on stage in order to give Klai Yisrael the opportunity to do tshuva, in which the Shechina would go back. And connected those Asar Masos of Shechina in Bayis Mekrai, connect the Galsa Sanhedrin, and connect corresponding to those 10 exiles of the Shechina in the first Beis HaMikdash, during the second Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin had gone into 10 exiles as well, because we didn't have the Aron, we didn't have the Shechinas as much in the second Beis HaMikdash. So where was our spiritual strength? The Marsha points out, our spiritual strength was in our Gedolim, in our Sanhedrin. That's what brought us the Shechina. Also, that's what brings the Shechina, the Tzadikim of the door, bringing the Shechina to Klal Yisrael. So, that Kenegdan was correspondingly, the Sanhedrin was also, went into 10 Goluses in the time of the Bayis Sheni. Marsha wants the time also in the first Beis HaMikdash also, they, during the time of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, they also went into 10 Goluses. So the Gemara says, Mi'gmara, we learn this out, that's from our tradition, that they went into Golus 10 times. The Gemara says, Eser Masos Nasa Shechina Mikrai. Rabbi Yochanan points out, the ten Shechina went down 10 different things was based on Psukim Mikaporos Lekruv. They went in from the Kaporos. The Kaporos were inside the base Kodesh Kedoshim. That was done. We had the Kaporos was done in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. We had another one created by the Shlomo Melech on the side of the Aron. So originally the Shechina was on the top of Ben Shnei Kruvim. That's based on Psukim Chumash, right? Then it left that one and went to the one of Shlomo. That's the first one. Mikruv Lekruv, someone out of that Girsa, because that would be an 11th one. So either way, it went from one Kruv to another Kruv. Mikruv Lemiftan, when the Kruvim went to the, literally, what's the threshold? Rashi points out the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash, of the house, literally. So there's a reference to, in the Beis HaMikdash, the area near the Chatzer. Lemiftan Lechatzer, and then from there, it went to the threshold to the courtyard. And this also, the Kruv is a spiritual sense that the reference to the fact that we're going to lose out in the Nevuah. This Marsha points out that we're leaving the Nevuah. This journey is living to Klal Yisrael's journey also. That we're going to lose, we're also going downwards. We're losing Nevuah. We're losing our spiritual strengths in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. That's all what's happening right now. From the Chatzar to the courtyard to the Mizbech, to where they would use Makrav Korbanos, Mizbech, Lagag, from the Mizbech, until the roof of the Ulam. Umigag Lachoma, from there, it left to the wall, the wall of the Chatzer. Umichoma Le'ir, from there, they went to Yushalayim, Me'ir Lahar, they went to the Har Zisim. Umahar Lamidbar, from the Har, went to the Midbar. Umibiru Arsal Vayashalam Koma in the wilderness, and went back to its place. Shinema Elecha Shuva El Mikome. So the Shechina, so to speak, kind of left Klal Yisrael. It left to my place. So Rabbi Yochanan says, where do we know this from the Psukim? Mikaporos Lekru, Mikru, Lekru, Lekru, Lemiftan. That's from the Pasuk, Dichsev, and Noadati Lecham, Shibati Itcha, Me'ala Kaporos. So we learned originally that the Ikar Shechina was resting in on top of the Aron, the cover of the Aron, the Kaporos. Uchsev, Vayirkav, Akru, Vayof, and then it went Kruv and it flew off. This is a reference to of a chesiv at the Hemshech. Rashi points out, "Kavod Hashem l'kei Yisrael nela me'al kruv asher la alav miftan ha'bayis." The reference to the glory of Hashem, it left the cherubim, which had gone in the threshold of the house. And Rashi points out, "Kavod l'kei Yisrael nela me'al kruv asher yalav ha'miftan ha'bayis l'manu shetchilas ikar shchina yisal ha'kapores v'me'yichesta nestalka misham l'kruv asher yisal kamiyamim." And it left, eventually left there also, as Rashi points out, miftan, and then it went in to the courtyard. Chesiv ayimala ha'bayis es ha'adin ve'achatzer mala es noga kavod Hashem. That the Beis HaMikdash was filled with the cloud, the glory of Hashem, and it was filled with the Mechatz on Mizbech, and then learned from there, the Chsiv HaRisis, as Hashem Nitzav on the Mizbech, as Hashem standing on the Mizbech. This is a reference to Amos, even though Amos lived many generations before Yechezkel. Yechezkel was at the end of the day, but Amos was apparently giving a Nevuah, giving a prophecy for something that would occur many generations later, even after the time of Yechezkel. When Mizbech Lagag, I'm from the Mizbech till the roof of the Chatzer, of the Beis HaMikdash, Tichsev, Tov Lasheves Al Pinas Agag, better stand on a roof than to be with someone. The pasuk says, Lashevagam Eishes Midonim Aves Chaver, from a woman who is arguing with you, always a woman who's hard to deal with, and this reference to Klal Yisrael and Hashem. The house is reference to Beis HaMikdash after Israel had gone steeped into idol worship, and the Shechina at some point was going to leave. That's the Knesset Israel and Klal Yisrael, and the reference of marriage a lot, that they also was leaving, better to stay with them than to be with this contentious wife. The relationship with us and Hashem, Kaviyachal. Megag Lechomef, how do I know if it was written from the courtyard wall? Dechsev, Inei Hashem Nitzav Al Chomes Anach, I'm standing from the wall, Mechoma Le'ir, and then went from the wall to the Yushalayim. How do I know that? He went to the glory of Hashem. It was on the city, and stand on the mountain of the east of the city. Therefore, the Har Zisim to the wilderness. Dwell in the wilderness rather than the woman who's angry. Midbar also Yashvam Kaima. It said he went to its place. I'll go back to my place and acknowledge their guilt over there. That's a pasuk in Hosea. Amar B'yochanan, Shisha Chodashim Niskava Shechina L'Yisrael. 6 months of Shechina was in the wilderness. Shema Yachzer B'tshuva, Kivan Shalachzer Amar Tifach Atzman. They didn't do Chodashim B'tshuva. Then Hashem said their essence is going to be suffering. Shenemar V'einir Hashem Tichalena, Manos Avad Menem, V'tikvasim Pach Noifesh. The reference to the wicked are looking up and they're still going to be, they're going to have a lot of pain. The Marsha wants to suggest, again, Marsha, we mentioned a lot of Marshas here, that the 6 months, maybe the 6 months are corresponding to the 6 months from the Esar of Batavis till when they, the time of the Tamas, when he ended up destroying the walls of the of Yerushalayim. So then that was all the reference to the point of the Asara Gullios of the Shekhinah. So corresponding to them, the Sanhedrin, that was our tradition, that the Sanhedrin, Migmara from the tradition, that had also went through 10 different Gulloses. When Lishkas Agazis, that's where Lishkas Agazis is a reference to where they were in the base of Migdash, they went Lechanas, they went out right outside onto the Harabayas, but not in the base of Migdash, because the Gemara Sanhedrin points out that there was so much murder rampant and so many people are doing the things, capital punishments, that the Sanhedrin weren't even able to try everyone at that time. To try everyone and convict them of murder, so they had to leave their places in order not to have to try anyone in the capital punishments. And from there they left the Chanas again. There's a store for the store literally by the Harabayas. They went to Yerushalayim proper. Yerushalayim Yavne. Yerushalayim they went to Yavne. That's the famous story. Tainli Yavne and Chachamer Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai was told Titus that he was going to take over. So he told him, Tainli Yavne and Chachamer, instead of sparing the Beit HaMikdash, he asked for Yavne to keep the Masorah going. Miyavne LeUsha, Usha, we know a lot of Takanas. Usha LeYavne went back to Usha, Miyavne LeUsha went back and forth, as Rashi points out, because whoever the Nasi was, wherever he was staying, that's where they would move back and forth. So you had, first it was Riochim Azaka was in Yavne, then after he died, the Nasi was Rama Gamliel, they went to Usha, then they brought it back to Yavne, later went back to Usha, but Shimon Gamliel. Usha LeShafram, from Usha went to Shafram. We know a lot of Takanas of Usha, so 3 points in Usha, but we know Usha, Avivaz, Bezaivaz, Chomesh, we didn't know about Takanas Usha, different things that we're Masakin in Usha. Usha went to Shafram, Shafram le Beisha Arim. Went to Beisha Arim, Beisha Arim le Tzipori, went to Tzipori. And with Tzipori le Tveria, into Tveria. That was in time of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. We know that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was there. He was this time of Tveria. With Tveria, Amukam Mikulon Tveria was the worst one. The deepest mamish in the Gaulah, Shinemar, Veshavaltam Eretz Tidaber. Different points of the Seder Doros brings down different times during Bar Kokhba. Some of this may have occurred, which is really our down point of the Sanhedrin, a very, very low point for Klal Yisrael. And then, so Gemara says, Rabbi Lezer says it was Sheish Klal, only six exiles. What is he arguing in the Matzias? So what happened was it 10 or was it six? So I want to explain that maybe he's encountering Yavne Lusha and Usha back to Yavne as all one, and he's not arguing with Matzias. He's just, what are we defining it based on this pasuk? Shnemar kias heashach yishrei maram kiriya nisgava yishpilena yishpere arts yiginu ad afar. He should brought those who dwell in the high and lower them to the ground. This is a reference over here to six different levels of declining, and that's why it's six different goluses. Amar biyochad and misham asin ligal. From there, we're going to be from the dust. We're going to be in nisgal. We actually make reference in lechadodi. We say this lashon echadori. We should take ourselves. That's a reference to coming back up and coming through galus. Like Yerushalayim, we're going to come back up. That's a reference to actually having the gula. That we're in the offer. We're in the state of the dust. It's to bring ourselves back up. For those who do say lechadori on Shabbos, when Shabbos is yantiv, so they won't sing these paragraphs because this is a reference to galus. And it's still a happy thing. Shabbos also not supposed to mention sad things, but yantiv especially is days of simcha. We don't mention the shaking off the dust because we're in a higher level of simcha on yantiv. Now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah. Amar Biyochanan ben Karacha. Biyochanan Karacha said, now next Mishnah. The last Takana of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Ve'odzos is going to Rabbi Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted Sha'afilu Brosh based in Bimalkachim. Normally the Rosh of the Beis Din is the one who was supposed to proclaim Rosh Chodesh. Let's say he wasn't there. So there was the area where there was an Usha at the time. Rosh Beis Din was somewhere else. So they don't usually, he was supposed to proclaim it, though Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was Masakin. They should only go to the place where the Sanhedrin was and the people were in order to declare that they were there. Even though the Rosh Beis Din wasn't there, we don't have to go to the Rosh Beis Din in order to declare it. We're going to mention the reason for it in a moment. The Miri points out, though, if the Rosh Beis Din was nearby, he should come and hear the testimony to where the guy is, where the Sanhedrin was, and declare Rosh Chodesh over there. So the Gemara says, there was a certain one, this story is going to be mentioned and kind of come out explaining the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai from this story, that there was a certain woman that Aznam Ladina Kamei de Memar Menai, the Azmana, they were summoned before a court of Amemar in Nahar Da. In order to, she had to settle with her the person who she owed money to. Alzal Amemar Melchoza. Amemar actually was in Melchoza. Velo Azal Basra. She didn't follow him there. So his court was originally in Arda, but he was in Melchoza at the time. Kasa Pizchalei. So Amemar wrote an excommunication. He put her in an excommunication because she did not listen to his money. You have to listen to his money based in. So Amemar says, "Amar Le Rav Ashi Amemar V'hat Anan Tznan." that we learn in the Mishnah, Afila Rosh based in Bechol Makom, and what the Beis Din was anywhere, Shaloa Yu, Eidim Ochid, El Makom Avad, they would go to the Makom of the place where the Beis Din was. So this woman didn't have to go to Yudim Ochid, she was in where the Beis Din was. Amalea Mimar said, no, honey, Milan and Esa Chodesh, that's only from the new months, the Imkain, because if you make them go to the head, wherever he is, Nimtas Mashallah said, well, people aren't going to want to come. And traveling is a very big burden. They went to the first place and they tell him, oh, he's not here, he's over there. Go all the way over there. People might not want to come. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh had a reason to make a takana over here. Hahacha, Eved Lova Leish Malveh. The person who is borrowing is a servant of the one who gave him the money of the creditor. So therefore, here, this person is considered a servant. She should have to follow me wherever I am. Even if I'm going somewhere else, she's subservient to the creditor. Therefore, she should have to follow my demands to follow where I am. And we'll judge the case wherever I am. She'll have to matriach herself to go follow me. Moran Sanhedrin has a similar lesson also that we pick where the Malve is based in as opposed to Love is because of this Eved Love Ish Malve. Now the Gemara continues. Taner Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Eina Kohanim Rashan Alas Besalena Duchan, that another Takan of Rebbe Chaim Zakkai is the Kohanim should not go do Duchaning Birkas Kohanim in their sandals to do Birkas Kohanim. Where the Gemara in Sota explains why, because if they're going to have the shoe straps, we're afraid it's going to get loose and they're going to have to deal with untying them, and then he's not going to do Birkas Kohanim, people are going to think that he wasn't a Kohen because he got stuck up with his shoes, so therefore they shouldn't go up with their sandals to do the duchening. This is one of the takanas that Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh was misakin. Shittai Pirkas, so the six we already know from our parak, the six of them we should remember, remind ourselves. One, shofar shechalios, blowing the shofar on Shabbos wherever there's a beis din. Second, the lulav could be taken all shiva as a zecher l'mikdash. The third one is yom hanef kulo aser. And the fourth one is the one the beis din should accept the new moon all day long. The fifth one is citing the new moon should only be in the place where we just had right now, our Mishnah. And the sixth one is the idea of the Kohanim. So that's the Shittai Pirkas. And v'chadet pirka kam, and the first one, another one is in the first parak. That was the takana of the fact that the beis din eidos chodesh would only be yotze. They would only go and violate Shabbos for Nisan and for Tishrei. That was that one. V'idach tzana, the eighth one is the one we learned in Braisa. Gershon skarbis manazeh, a Jew converted. Nowadays tarach shifresh rova lekino. He has to separate a quarter of a shekel for his korbanos. You know, we normally there was a the Gemara increases learns out from that we're like Gerim, the Klai Yisrael are converting with the process of what Klai Yisrael did at Har Sinai. First they went into the mikvah. Well, first they obviously they had mila, they had tefillah, went to mikvah. Then they were bringing korbanos. They also sprinkled the blood. It's machlokas, you have to be sprinkling blood as part of that of the application of the ger. But either way, we hold a nut ma'akiv. The Gemara increases learns that out. Otherwise, we're not allowed to have any gerim bismanazeh. We're allowed to have gerim because even if you do the first two without the other two, it's not ma'akiv. But when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be Mirtz Hashem B'mehira Revei Beis HaMikdash, all the gerim are going to have to bring the korbanos, and they're going to have to be sprinkling the blood, according to the machlokas, but let's assume they're sprinkling the blood. So they're going to have to do it after the Beis HaMikdash. So they had a thing that a minig that the person was going to separate the coins to be ready to bring them when the Beis HaMikdash was going to be built. Rabbi Shimon Lazar Kfar Nimna Alav Rabbi Yochanan Vidla Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he annulled this decree because you're going to separate hektish, and obviously when you have hektish of things you're going to benefit, you're going to touch them, you're going to use them, so there it would lead to major mechshol, major problems. Therefore he got rid of this takana. So V'idach plug other Rav Papa Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the ninth one is Machlokas Rav Nachman Rav Papa Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rav Papa Amar Karam Ravai. Has to do with the year of the fourth year of fruits. If not, one of our Amalash and Shil Zahorius has to do with the strip of red wool that they used to do on Yom Kippur. What are these? We're going to get to them. Repapa, Markan, Ravai. What's the case of the fourth year, the fruits of the vineyard? Could be also the Peros, Ravai. Also, the Snan. Karam, Ravai, Ayah, Olive, Shalim. Anyone who had the fourth year vineyard used to bring them up to Shalim. Halachim, Echad, Lechot, Tzad. The kind of was that they used to bring them, if you lived one day within Yerushalayim's distance, you would have to walk to Yerushalayim. So Karam Ravai is generally like the Kasa of Ravai. The first 3 years are Orla. The fourth year, you have to bring them to Yerushalayim. And the Lachas are similar with Xer Shavuot to Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni, we know if you have a lot of peros, you can redeem them onto coins and bring the coins and buy things in Yerushalayim, buy the fruits in Yerushalayim. Same thing with Karam Ravai. However, they wanted to masakin the Takana Sashuk that there should be a lot of fruits in Yerushalayim, so they would make a Takana that they would have to bring all of their fruits to anyone who lived within one day would have to bring their fruits to Yerushalayim and not redeem them onto money. Vezoi tchuma, this is the boundaries. Elas min change the gears so really instead of really Durham, Elas to the south, Akrabas min atzafon, Akrabas to the south, Lud min amarav, Lud is to the west. Load rather to the west. V'yardim in Amizrach. Yard the Jordan River is to the east. V'amar Ula Yitev Rav Yavar. Matam. What is the reason that this should not be brought? Because Kedei La'atir Shuk Yerushalayim Paris. You want to have a lot of fruits in Yerushalayim. So there's two reasons. Maybe the first is that maybe everyone's buying food to supply and demand. Tons of people are going to redeeming them onto money, and there's tons of people want to buy them. There's not going to be so many fruits in Yerushalayim if that's the case. The other one is also maybe others explain that if everyone's bringing their fruits, going to have so much fruits, they'll eventually. What if they have leftovers? They spent the whole week Yerushalayim and they still have tons of leftovers. They brought tons and tons of fruits, so they'll sell them at a low cost to all the local vendors to sell them in Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is going to have tons of fruits. So that's the reason for this takana.
That's
really what you're talking about. Tanya, we learn in a brisa. Karen Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer had a fourth-year vineyard. The Mizrach Lod Kfar Kavia was within one day's travel of Yerushalayim. Ubikesh Rabbi Eliezer Afkir Lamin. We wanted to give it, mafkir it, to establish that it's going to be for anybody. It's going to be hefker. It's going to be ownerless. Why? Because it was too hard for him to bring them to Yerushalayim. Amrila Tamidah, so he wanted the poor people to bring Yerushalayim. Tamidah, Tamidah told him, Rabbi Kfar Nimnil Chavrecha Alave Tiro, people already earlier years, they permitted it within one day's travel. Man Chavrecha, who are these colleagues? Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, this is Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's ninth takana. However, Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak says that it's different takana. Lashon Shel Zehuris, it was the strip of red wool. The Sadeh Barishona Yokoshin Lashon Zehuris Pesach Ulam Bechutz, the strip of red wool in the doorway into the entrance to outside of the ulam of the area, the big area in the base of Migdash. So Halvin Nayos Mechem. So we know they were the Masorah because the pasuk says Imu Chatzim Kashelig Albina. They're going to turn white. So we know the Masorah miraculously would turn white. Then they would know that they were forgiven. They would be happy, loyal, but they would be very sad if it didn't turn. If it stayed red, they would be very sad, which is in Altsa's Yamtiv. So you're not supposed to be sad on the Yamtiv. Not supposed to be sad, or they'll be miyayish from doing tshuva. I mean, it's another pshat you could say that they're miyayish from doing tshuva because it was red. So therefore, they want to put it inside of the inside doorway of the ulam. But then I went to my people would like look around. They would like go on the door. You know, imagine like going on poles and whatever to try to see if it turned white or not. So they were the same thing would happen. Then they would tell their friends, "Hilben Ayusmechan." If it turned white, they'd be happy. And if it was red, loyal bin loyal tzvim. Skinu shi koshin also achetsa baselav achetsa bin kadosh shalsir mishtelech. So that's what the takana that they would did. Okay, Be'ez Hashem. I think we'll have to stop over here. I'll pick up Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. My time alone, Rav Papa. Be'ez Hashem in tomorrow's daf.